to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time, it's time, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Sunday school book, go get your Bible, and come on and study along with us today as we study our Sunday school lesson. And we have a great lesson today. The devotional reading as well as the background scripture, all of it is coming from Psalms 84. Psalms 84. And Psalms 84 is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites. Psalm. Let's take a look at Psalms 84, beginning with verse number 1. Psalm 84, beginning with verse number 1, it says, "How aimable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul long, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose hearts are the ways of them, who's passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also fills the pool. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, I shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts now in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right. We Got a great lesson today. You know, all this month, we have been really focusing on praising the Lord. All this month, you know, particularly this particular quarter, we have just been focusing on praising the Lord. October the 3rd, praise God with joy. October the 10th, praise God, ultimate justice. October the 17th, last Sunday, praise God for past deliverance. And then today, praise God for His presence. Praise God for His presence. And Psalm 84, in terms of background to Psalm 84, we really don't know for sure who wrote this psalm. A lot of people thinking that it was wrote by David, that David wrote this psalm. Some people say that it was written by Korah, the sons of Korah. But when you read the subscription there at the top, it says to the chief musician up on Gitti, a psalm for the sons of Korah. It says for them. It didn't say by them. And so it was somebody. You know, a lot of people say it was David because of that word Sheol that's in this psalm, 84:9, and then also in verse number 11. This word occurs in Psalms 3 and 5 and Psalms 144 and then some other psalms. And so they say that, you know, a good bet of this is David. But whoever it is, it seems like it's in the same spirit, like it's in the same spirit of David. As you start reading the Psalms, it reminds me of Psalm 63, how David, he really wanted to get back to the house of the Lord and to worship God there in the tabernacle. And you'll see the same spirit of that psalm, which was David, Psalm 63. You'll see the same thing happening here. He seems to have a desire. As a matter of fact, as we get into our lesson, that's what you will see first of all when I break this psalm up. The first three verses, you will see a desire. You'll see the desire. You'll see the desire. He says how admirable, aimable, however you want to pronounce it, are thy tabernacle, which basically means how beloved is your tabernacle. And the tabernacle, you know, it was the big tent. It was the big tent. How beloved, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And now keep in mind, when he says tabernacles, you're talking about you're not talking about different tabernacles scattered throughout Israel. No, there was one big tabernacle, and you had, you know, other little tents around the tabernacle. But for the most part, you just had that one big tent. So don't get confused, and keep in mind this was before Solomon had built the temple. This was before he built the temple. And but you see the desire. He's yearning to dwell near the altar, along with birds that stay there. Look what he says in verse 2. My soul long, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. He says, yea, the sparrow has found the house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altar. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And so you see this great desire. You see this great desire that this person have for the Lord. And, you know, this is why I say that this is probably David. Because when you look over at Psalms 63 verses 1 and 2, David says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. And so David, he want to see God's power and glory at like he done saw it in the sanctuary. You know, it's something about God's power and glory in the sanctuary. You know, God promised over in Matthew 18 and 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be there in the midst of them. If you really want to see God's power, you really want to see God's glory, get with the body of Christ. Get with the body of Christ. And those people, if they are truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you will see God manifest his power, and God will manifest his glory. And so you see the desire. You see the desire of this person. You see the desire of this person. And like I say, I think this is probably David. He wanna get back to the house of God, and he wanna stay. He wish he could stay. He wish he could stay there. Just like the birds. They found the place there, a place where they can stay. Now you think about these little bitty birds, these little sparrows, these little swallows. These are little birds, and these little birds, they have found the place to stay. And so David is somewhat, or this author is somewhat jealous, somewhat. And this is a good jealousy. This is a godly jealousy. Just like God is a jealous God for us, that's a good jealousy. That's not the mean jealousy that want to cut your ties and want to cut you up and want to tie up the stuff that you got and whatever. No, this is a good godly jealousy. And so David is, or this psalm, I keep saying David because it sounds to me that this sounds a lot like David. But he's wishing that he could just stay there. He wishing that he could stay there just like the birds stay there. Rather than visiting the tabernacle, he wished he could just stay there in the tabernacle. And then he goes on further. That was his desire. But then you see his delights. You see the delights from verses 4 through 10, you see the delights. And notice how he looks at some of these benefits. And the first one is happiness in 4 and 5. Look what he says in 4 and 5. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose hearts are the ways of them. See, he's kind of jealous somewhat of these people that stayed there at the temple. Or the tabernacle. There were some people that stayed there. Matter of fact, David set it up where you would have the choir singing 24 hours a day there at the tabernacle. And you had different ones coming at different times. You even had priests that was coming at different times, working different shifts and things like that. And you had people that stayed there. Remember Eli, he stayed there. Samuel, he stayed there at the tabernacle. And so you had the various priests and stuff. They stayed there when they would come. Remember John the Baptist's daddy. When you come and do your service there at the temple. In John the Baptist's day, it was a temple. And, well, the priests, they stayed there. You didn't go back home. You stay there. And so this author is looking at how these people is praising God 24 hours a day and how they just blessed because they get a chance to stay there. Because, see, not everybody could stay there. Only the tribe of Levi. Only the tribe of Levi. And then only the family of Aaron could be priests there. And so you had those that could be priests. And then you had the different families in the tribe of Levi that could do different things. And so we see the tribe of Korah. The author wrote this for the Songs of Korah. So the Songs of Korah, they had an opportunity to stay there at the tabernacle. And the psalmist is looking at, man, just their happiness. Man, if I could just have a job where, but my job is just stay at the church and just sing at the church. In other words, you didn't have to leave. That was your job, to be there at the church and just sing. I just wonder if we had our choir and our choir members, that would be their job, to sing, and provide good songs and praises to the Lord 24 hours a day. And so you had those working the first shift, and then those working the second shift, and then those working the third shift. And what I like about, you know, singing, it wasn't so much singing to the people as it was singing to the Lord. Because, you know, in the nighttime, ain't no be hauling nobody down there at the tabernacle. Particularly carrying out offerings and sacrifices and things like that. Because, see, they didn't have night lights what we got today, you know, street lights and all of that, where you could, you know, that was the thing when I first went to Chicago that I noticed. Man, them street lights up there, they got it so lit up that it's almost like you can't hardly tell the difference between daylight and nighttime, because it's so lit up there. And but back in Bible days, you know, they had lanterns and lights, but it was not conducive for them to do offerings at night. But they had these people praising God. They had sweet music. And so let's go on a little bit further. You see, the godly will make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they was going from strength to strength. When he says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose hearts are the ways of them. And so these people now, they're making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to do to pay their homage unto the Lord. And then he talks about here in verse number 6 how they're passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filled the pool. Now, Bible scholars can't really find this place, this valley of Baca, so they don't really know exactly of where that's at, because you won't find that really in the scriptures. But some are thinking that they're just passing through dry places. They're passing through dry places. Some of them call that valley of Baca the valley of weeping. So it's a sad place. But God is taking our dry places and he's turning them into fields of refreshment. You get fresh rain water and you get a fresh pool of water. And so he's taking the valley of weeping and it's becoming a refreshing spring. And so we see here how God changes things. It's amazing when you start going to church. When you start going to church, I often say your way is going to be, your day is going to be a whole lot brighter. And your burdens will be a whole lot lighter. Yeah, and you can see this right here. And then look at verse 7. He says they go from scrant to scrant. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. And so you see they're going from scrant to scrant. And in other words, you get stronger and stronger. You know, it's just like that little train that was going up the little hill. When they first saw the top of that hill and the train was at the bottom of the hill, that little train didn't think that he could. He said, I don't know if I can climb that hill. But then he started saying, well, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And as he started going up the hill, he started picking up steam. He started saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And then when he got almost to the top of the hill, he started saying, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. And see, this is the thing. In other words, he got stronger and stronger. And that's how it is. When you first start working for the Lord, a lot of times the problems seem to be too big. The mountain seems to be too high. The climb. But then you have a little ounce of faith, a little ounce of faith. You have a mustard seed of faith where you start saying, well, I think I can. You know, all things are possible. If I just only believe, if I put my faith in God, I believe I can do this. And then as you start going, see, getting started is always the hardest. But once you get started, you go from scrant to scrant. You go from glory to glory. You're going to get stronger as you keep going. This is a great scripture. They go from script to script. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. They made it. They made it to Zion, the city of Zion, Jerusalem. They made it there to worship the Lord. Then notice here at verse number 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ears, O God of Jacob. And so now he's praying. He says, behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And so we see that David, well, the psalmist is saying, look upon thine anointed. Knowing it. And this is one of the reasons that a lot of people believe that this may be David, because it says the face of thine anointed, and David was anointed. He was anointed. He was anointed a king of Israel. So it's either David or King Hezekiah, It's a king. It's somebody that was anointed. And he's saying, look upon the face of thine anointed. And so we see the light. We see the light. Look what he says in verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. See, there again. The light of being there at God's house. You know, if I was going to preach this, I probably would say addicted to church. This man seemed to be addicted to church. He seemed to be addicted to the house of the Lord. He was jealous of the birds that stand there. He wished he could stay there. Like the birds, he wished he could stay there, like the singers. And then he says, for a day in thy courts, just one day in thy courts, it's better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He says, I would just rather be a servant in the house of God than to have a festival in the tents of the wicked. I would rather be at work serving God than rather been partying with the world. Wow, this man, he really has a heart, a desire, and he has a delight for being in God's house. But notice, one of the reasons he got the desire and the delight is because he see God as his defender. Look right here at verse number 11. He says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk it uprightly. If I'm going to speak to children, particularly teenagers or somebody getting ready to graduate from high school, I'd like to share this message. If I'm going to talk to teenagers, even one-on-one, or a group of my class, I love this verse here. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk upright. And I would try to let the teenagers know, if you do the right thing, then God is going to bless you. No good thing will God withhold from you if you walk upright. And the blessing of this too, you'll be able to enjoy it. See, some people can't enjoy their blessings because they are not walking upright. And God will bless them with something, and then the devil will come in like a Pac-Man and he'll take it. And he bless them with a good job and they get money, but it's like putting it in pockets with holes in it. God bless them with this, but they don't have enough. And because the devil comes in. See, they don't have no covering. But when God is your covering, and God, he provides for you, but then at the same time, God protects you, all because you're serving God. All because you stand out of the house of the wickedness and you're there at the tabernacle of God, or you're there in the church of God. And so I try to inspire these teenagers, stay with the Lord. And not only teenagers, we as adults, we need to hear this. If you would just stay with Jesus, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Food, clothing, shelter, transportation, whatever you need, housing, whatever you need, God's got you covered. And then the psalmist, it ends here with verse number 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. That word blessed means happiness. Happiness on the inside that move to the outside. Yeah, and that's what people is looking for. If you're looking for happiness, trust God. If you want to be happy on the inside, trust God. If you want to be happy on the outside, trust God. And when we're talking about trusting God, we're saying do things God's way. Yeah, go by the book. Live by the book. Live by the book. When you live by the book and you do things God's way, God's work, listen to this, God's work done God's way will get God's reward. God's work done God's way will get God's reward. And so do God's work God's way and you'll receive God's reward. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.